There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is program number 753, April 9th, 2018. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. What we have here is a failure to win by Bottas while Seb plays Cool Hand Luke in the Arabian Night. Back to you, sir, the Sheik of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Honda giggling deep inside. Ferrari get lucky again. Williams not even talked about. And Verstappen is a dickhead. And don't forget, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. Thank you. Before we get going, Clark, we would like to wish speedy and full recovery to Ferrari mechanic Francesco Ciccarini, who suffered a broken leg during Kimi's second pit stop. The operation went well, is what he posted on Instagram Monday morning. So that's positive news, and we wish him all the best.
Yes, indeed. Wow, that was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, motor racing is dangerous, and, you know, no matter how safe you make it, things like this will happen. But I'm glad, you know, it's contained, and the guy is doing well and recovering and smiling on the picture he posted. It's all looking upward and positive, so that's good.
It is looking good. Everybody's happy at Ferrari, especially when somebody gets in an accident, but you still win and take the victory home.
Well, you said Williams is not talked about. One of the drivers said, "We look like idiots."
Yeah, exactly. It's sad.
Actually, you know, they are the only, after two races, they are the only team that has not scored a point.
Absolutely sad. I mean, I've never seen a team that used to equal McLaren and Ferrari, and used to be at the front of the spear on a regular basis, fall so far. And I don't see any coming back anytime soon.
No, I was thinking, you know, earlier that, and I think we've discussed this before, you know, nobody is getting younger day by day, but I think for the long-term future, the best thing for BMW would have been to gel with BMW, Williams and BMW, and probably BMW wanted more say in that. And at one time, they had a very good competitive package together.
Yeah. But obviously that didn't work out, did it?
No, it did not. And Frank Williams wants to hang on to his dear team, which is fine. It's his team. I understand that. But in this area of, in this era of corporate motorsports, it's very hard to survive and win as an independent. You know, I don't know how much money they get as one of the, you know, the grandfather teams of, you know, people who get special perks like them and McLaren and all that. But if they did not have that, I wonder how they would survive.
Exactly. And having to spend so many millions to stay in the back of the field. It's, you know, they've become the Super Aguri of England.
Yeah, even with them, you know, Sato San was able to pass Nando in a McLaren in Canada.
Bravo. That? Yeah, that was exciting, huh?
Yeah, but these people, this is a very, very sad story.
It is a sad story, but let's talk about good stuff.
Well, talking about good stuff and moving to Bahrain, looks like history may be repeating itself and regime change may be on the horizon. Last time a German driver won the opening two races of the season, it was not a happy ending for what you would call the SA crowd in Beverly Hills and CBGB. And I have to say, you know, like him or not, it's the same thing with Lewis and any other great drivers. But the final few laps in Bahrain showed the small but race and championship winning difference between a great driver and a very good driver. However, it must be noted that Bottas did not make a boneheaded move that may have resulted in a DNF for him or both. In other words, he did not pasteurize Bastian. Your thoughts on Bastian going so long on those tires?
Impressive. Let me put it this way. If it was Verstappen behind Vettel, if it was Fernando, if it was Schumacher, if it was Juan Pablo Montoya, I think it would have been a completely different result.
Yes, in the case of two of those you mentioned, Montoya and Verstappen, they would have barged ahead regardless of what was happening. But yeah, it takes a, you know, I mean, you see the difference, you know. I mean, I remember some years ago when Nico Rosberg had a faster car and could not pass LCH's teammate. And even he himself said after the race, I should have won this race. And that's why you have these super uber talented drivers, you know, that when the chips are down, the very best comes out in them. Very impressive performance, I have to say. And you know, if let's just say if Lance Stroll was behind him like a half a second and had DRS available in a Williams, and if he could not make the pass, I will understand. But man, with a Mercedes package, DRS, and this was not Monaco where you could not really use the DRS, it was a very impressive performance by Sebastian Vettel, I have to say.
Absolutely. And not only that, but having both Red Bulls out by lap five certainly sure helped everybody.
Oh, yes. Talking about giggling, Pierre Gasly is giggling all the way back to France and Japan or wherever he's going. But I think LCH was the biggest beneficiary of both the Red Bulls running out of steam shortly after the start of the race. But before we look into the dirty lowdown, shall we take a quick look at Cauley and how the grid was set for the Bahrain Grand Prix?
Absolutely.
Any thoughts on the Cauley?
Well, I thought the Verstappen incident, where he had 150 horsepower surge, I never even heard of that before.
Well, that's what happens in days of... Well, if you talk to CBS, they can tell you they heard about this. It's called Audi Sudden Acceleration. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice if they can get this surge during a race?
That's my point. I mean, if they can get accidentally 150 horsepower out of nowhere, let's try to duplicate this accident.
I think 50 horsepower will put them in the fight with Ferrari and Mercedes.
No doubt.
Yeah. And you know what was very interesting, and this is, you know, maybe sign of the times, the tide is turning. Only three Mercedes powered cars in Q3. Esteban Ocon of Force India was the only one apart from the factory team. And our man Kimi has been looking fully awake and alert lately in FP and in Cauley, but pole went to his championship leading teammate, Sebastian. And this was Ferrari's first lockout of front row in Bahrain since 2006 and was pole number 51 for Seb. Now, were you impressed by Mr. Bottas at least out-qualifying LCH on the grid?
Of course. I love those little moments.
Yeah, he was third on the grid, and I think he did a pretty good job after his issues in Australia. Because if there is somebody under the gun right now, there are two drivers in the hot seat, Kimi Raikkonen, and I think Valtteri Bottas also.
Yeah, and Daniel Ricciardo is very hungry.
Yeah, Daniel Ricciardo, I think, there's a lot of rumors flying that he may be at Ferrari next year.
A lot of rumors. I don't see it yet, but I don't believe anything anymore.
Yeah, you never know. So much politics and this and that, but we will see how it works out. You know, I mean, if you look at it, the way things are going for Max Verstappen, nobody can deny his talent and speed. But, I mean, if they had a package that can challenge Ferrari and Mercedes, Red Bull may not be a bad place for Max Daniel Ricciardo to stay.
I agree. I mean, but, you know, Red Bull could be powered by Honda next year.
Yeah. And talking of Honda, star of Cauley was Mr. Pierre Gasly, who dragged his GP2 engine Toro Rosso to row 3 and 6th and started 5th with Lewis's 5-grid penalty. He was surprised himself, saying they will have to look at data to see what happened. He called his qualifying effort his best lap in Formula 1. K-Mag was the only Haas car in Q3 and started 6th. Both your Renault cars, your French team, They were in the top 10. Nico Hülkenberg 7th and Sainz Jr. 10th on the grid. Ocon was 8th, while his fourth senior teammate, Senior Perez, was 12th. Both McLarens were out in Q2. Nando and Vendon occupied 7th row. And I was kind of surprised Lance Stroll was the last call of fire, even behind his teammate Sorokin, who was 18th. I have a feeling that one of these billionaire daddies will get, I mean, I will not be surprised if Lawrence Stroll gets pissed off at Williams that he's paying them like $30, $35 million. Plus, he must have paid them millions of dollars for his son to test the car, you know, a few-year-old car a year ago. And the son is now qualifying dead last.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah, it is pathetic, actually.
It's pathetic.
And now they are losing the Martini sponsorship at the end of the season also.
Which is sad because we were so happy to see that come back a couple of years ago.
Yes, we were, and just like we are with the Alfa Romeo name back.
Correct.
Okay, so let's talk about rains. And I say rain in Bahrain is as likely as a sunny day on a Siberian winter. So a win by Seb was expected. What was not expected, especially by men in silver, that he would do it on one-stop strategy. It is these rising to the challenge, mentality and delivery, that define great drivers. But men in red also know that silver streak will have their days in sunshine on certain tracks. Your thoughts on the opening few laps?
Bottas had a great start. You have to give it to him. Kimi Raikkonen, I think his clutch slipped. I'm not sure if he's to blame, but Bottas definitely had a great launch. I liked Verstappen attacking and attacking and trying to pass Lewis Hamilton. Somebody's got to do this.
No, that is very true. That is very true. Max is a very exciting driver, but, you know, every now and then. It's one of those things, you know, to finish first, you have to first finish. And the same rule applies even if you're second or third. You know, when you drop out of a race so early in the event, that's a lot of points, and a lot of points means a lot of dollars.
You're right, and he'll learn. But at least it's exciting for us for a few moments. But I wish he had stayed in the Grand Prix. And that's the sad part, is we could have had a better show.
Yeah, and you know, Bottas and Kimi Raikkonen, there is no love lost between these two men from Finlandia. And it was a very impressive pass by him. And for a second, I thought, you know, maybe we'll have the power and push of what we have seen from Mercedes cars in the last few years. But it was pretty obvious within a lap or two that he was not going to put a dent in Sebastian Vettel's lead.
Yes, it looks like the Ferrari is quick and it's managing the tires extremely well.
And I think it's the caliber of driver they have. It's no wonder, you know, see, when you have a performance like this, no wonder he's their, you know, love child.
Yeah.
And they, as they say, you know, the team will always gravitate to the faster driver. That's just a simple math of motor racing.
Love that math.
Yes. And, you know, the interesting thing is the last time a driver won opening two races of the season and did not win the championship was 1982, when your homeboy Alain Prost won the first two races. But Keke Rosberg won the championship in season finale in the parking lot of Caesar's Palace in Vegas. But as Sebastian said, you know, they had a lot less races back then. We still have 19 races to go, and that's a lot of motor racing. A lot can happen.
I agree. But we'll see what happens. I think Mercedes is fumbling a little bit, and nobody's talking about it too much. For Mercedes to have dependability issues, and sure, it's not a kablamo, but when you have to change a gearbox so far in each race because of an oil leak, that's a dependability issue. That's unlike Mercedes, and they've got some sorting through to get. Something's going on. Something is going on, and it's going to bring the championship to Ferrari.
Yeah, it's possible, but you know, it's going to happen. Like Lewis said, and like Seb has said, there will be some races where we will have to admit that the other party has a better package. So one thing that Lewis really cannot do is what he may have done or may have done to him this past race. I mean, he was looking for damage control and was very lucky not to suffer any damage from RG Bargy with Max. because it will be very hard to overcome a 40-point deficit to Vettel. He was looking pretty chill after the race, perhaps realizing things could have gone wrong way for him after his on-track meeting with Max. I mean, think about it this way. He is down 17 points, okay, right now. If a race in China, let's say Sebastian wins and Max takes him out or there's a kablamo on his Mercedes, you add 25 plus 17 and what you get is a lead that'll be very hard to overcome. I mean, you know, Sebastian Vettel may be German, but he ain't no Nico Rosberg. Let me tell you that.
That's very beautiful, Nasser.
No, do you agree on that?
No, I completely agree. I mean, like, you know, we do have 19 races, but like I said, if Vettel can keep the pressure on and keep pole positions going, if the Ferrari, if the development of the Ferrari continues in an upward fashion, and of course he's a great driver, we'll see what happens. I think Mercedes has some quality issues with their gearbox. Even though they'll sort it out, it'll be fixed. But like you said, we'll see. To be honest with you, Lewis Hamilton needs to win in China.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But talking of Lewis and the Max situation, to me, this was a racing incident and not a Pastor or a Sato dive bomb. But I must say this, if you have the good to fight for the championship, when you have certain drivers side by side in the early stages of the race, it is better to let them go, let them collect someone else ahead of the road. Like a friend of mine used to say, there are certain drivers, if there is no problem or a trouble on the track, they will find. And he used to name Willie T. Ribbs, Paul Tracy, Montoya. So I think, you know, Max is definitely one of those drivers. He is a runaway bullet train who can only go right, left, or straight ahead. He is not going to slow down for anyone. In Bahrain, he was victim of his own aggressive move on LCH, which resulted in a cut tire on lap two. You know, he reminds me of, I don't know if you remember those days, but when Paul Tracy first came into IndyCar racing with Penske team, he was like that. And I remember Roger Penske saying at one race that I'd rather pull a guy than push him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Dr. Marco and Christian Horner do not seem like racers who will ask Max to slow down. And I just hope he entertains us soon with another performance like his victory in Mexico. Do you remember what he said when he barged ahead of Sebastian Vettel, I believe it was, to take the lead? He went on the radio. That's how we do it.
Bravo.
And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But in case of misery loves company, teammate Ricciardo also retired on the same lap. For him, it was a case of the night lights went out in Bahrain, if not Georgia, a complete loss of power. But amazingly, the guy was still smiling after the race.
Yeah. And these, you know, these modern cars, I don't know anymore. I mean, I liked it when you ran out of fuel or you had a bad spark plug.
Or your mullet piston cracked.
Something that I could handle and touch.
No, it's always, you know, electronics or hydraulics. The engine never fails unless it's on fire in Malaysia.
Exactly.
But, you know, those are the PC correct world we are in now. Okay, you must have been very happy with your homeboy Pierre Gasly. What a drive by the young man from Rouen. And apart from Seb's victory at Monza in Minardi days, fourth place for Pierre Gasly equals their best ever result, he said after the race, and I quote, "We sent a really strong message today because in Formula One, you cannot finish fourth without a good engine," end of quote. And I'm just hoping that, you know, for the sake of Honda, for the sake of motorsports and Formula One, that Honda will keep improving and maybe win races next year, possibly, like you said, with the mothership Red Bull. Your thoughts on Mr. Gasly?
I thought it was fantastic. It reminded me of Sato-san in the Jordan finishing fourth, and it looked like it was a win.
And that was at Suzuka, right?
Yep. Exciting, exciting, exciting. That was the same feeling I got. You know, they were so happy. The team was so happy. And to see that kind of glee from fourth place is pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, for a small team. And the amazing thing is he did not make a mistake. The Honda engine did not go kaput or something like that. So that's all good. That's all moving forward. Now we come to K-Mag, Kevin Magnussen. another impressive performance from the North Carolina-based team. Fifth for Magnussen gives the team fistful of points in dollars. His teammate Grosjean, the official complainer of Formula One, was 15th a lap down. K-Mac said he was experiencing a lot of vibration later in the race after his opening lap clash with Renault of Hülkenberg, and vibrations at over 150 miles per hour are not cool vibrations. Your thought on the K-Mac situation, sir?
I think K-Mac is doing a great job. Grosjean, the whining and complaining and being a lap down, and I think K-Mac is coping with a good car. I think maybe the car suits K-Mac better than Grosjean, but nevertheless, K-Mac needs to prove himself this year if he ever plans to go to a bigger team.
Yeah, and I think if the Haas package remains like this, and if he can keep outperforming on a regular basis Romain Grosjean, then there's a good chance, you know, some top team may take him. He's a good racer. I've followed his career for a very long time, and he's a very good talent. Now, talking of Hülkenberg, who clashed with K-Mac, Hülkenberg is unfortunately one of the lost boys of F1 like Grosjean. He was sixth and last car on the lead lap. Jordi Dios, Nando, and Vendôme were seventh and eighth, respectively. It is interesting the kind of claim this team was making last year, where they would be if they had an F1 engine. And I remember they were saying, oh, we can tell by the GPS and this and that how they would be very close to Red Bull. But both finishing behind a Honda Power Toro Rosso was not what Dr. Ruth Westheimer recommended. Do you see any upsurges in their fate? I think they will come to the top much faster than Williams. But right now, after first two races, you know, there's still a question mark, I think.
There's a big question mark. And you know what I call it?
Tell me.
Karma.
Oh, yes. My favorite motorsports word, karma.
Bravo.
Oh, by the way, if you listen to the BBC podcast of the F1 races, guess who is their expert commentator or guest on the show? Karma himself, Julian Palmer.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And Marcus Ericsson was another chap who had a very good day and finished ninth for Alfa Romeo Sauber. Esteban Ocon picked up the final point for Pink Panther Brigade. And Bottas set the fastest lap of the race in the hunt for Red Ferrari. And round three is coming up this week in Shanghai. Sorry, you mentioned about a word, what kind of a head Max is. Fill us in more as to what happened between him and in water force between LCH.
You mean when LCH was in the press room?
Yeah, you know, he called him something, which you said at the top of the
show. Right. Well, it's LCH, you know, as they're in the press room, they have big screen television sets, is what I call them, big screen display units. And they were replaying the accident right as Lewis Hamilton was looking at the screen. He could see himself clashing with Verstappen. And as he saw it, he couldn't help but say, dickhead. And just a reminder, Verstappen's middle name is not Richard.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah, I think these boys will be boys, but they will cool down.
Oh, yes, they will cool down. Everybody's going to be happy. Red Bull needs to just gather themselves up, get their software working a little bit better, figure out this surge of power that caused him to crash, which was pretty scary in the end. But China, only it's this weekend, no pause for refreshments.
Yeah, that's very good, man. I really like another race coming up.
I know you do, Nass. Since you're so happy, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Attention Formula One fans, how would you like to have access to an all-inclusive USA-based Formula One website that provides discounts and reviews on Formula One ticket, apparel, travel, and collectibles companies? Go to F1FanAdvisor.com and see for yourself. Whether it's finding the highest-rated Formula One Momento stores, ticketing companies, or apparel stores, F1FanAdvisor.com is the place to find it. Plus, F1FanAdvisor.com has negotiated some serious discounts for USA-based fans with select companies on their site, so check it out now. And for a limited time, F1FanAdvisor.com is offering their free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, so you can avoid the ticket-buying pitfalls that most F1 fans make. Go to www.f1fanadvisor.com to to see how big of a discount you can get. It only takes seconds and it's completely free. Get your discounts, plus the free report, the 5 costly mistakes to avoid when purchasing Formula One tickets, absolutely free. Race to www.f1fanadvisor.com now.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. We do have action from around the world. We will be going to your heaven, Francia, for some World Rally Championship, South America for motorsports on two wheels. But let's stay in Bahrain a little bit longer. The Formula 2 opening round was this past weekend. All British, all rookie front row. Formula 3 champion on pole, GP3 champion next to him. That would mean Lando Norris and George Russell, respectively. Russian driver Artem Markelov started from pit lane after stalling on the grid. Very impressive performance from him. He was in top 10 by lap 5, and halfway through the 31st lap, he was in top 6. And then, with 10 laps to go, Lando Norris, who had dominated the race, started reporting to his team that his engine was cutting out, but the engine did not go kaput, and Norris took victory. Very, very impressive. This kid is going, man. This kid may end up winning 6 championships, all in rookie attempts. And, you know, when you win GP2 and Formula 3 in your rookie season, you got something going. And my understanding is that Zak Brown is his manager because he's already signed up to the McLaren driver development program. But a tremendous dogfight behind Lando Norris for second place between his Carlin teammates Sergio Sete Camara and Artem Markelov, the Russian we just mentioned. The last 2 laps are worth watching with passing and repassing by both drivers. Camara was able to take second at the end. He was once upon a time love child of Dr. Marco, and of course also one of the 2 drivers who crashed in that epic last lap, last corner at Macau last year. Markelov, who is in his 5th season of GP2/F2, won the sprint race on Sunday. German Maximilian Günther was 2nd. He comes from Formula 3, European Formula 3 that is. Camara was 3rd and Norris 4th, who is now leading the championship, 39 points to 30 over Markelov. Camara is 3rd on 28, and he is hoping... This I've always found very intriguing. We've never had a Brazilian win a GP2 championship. Lucas di Grassi came very close, though, but he was beaten by Timo Glock.
Well, I'm thinking, what's his name? Dudu.
Dudu?
Yeah.
You mean Dudu is Rubinho's son, right?
Correct. He'll be he'll be the first.
Yeah. Well, he's starting off in American racing, so he probably will gravitate towards IndyCar racing, but it will be good if he does. Interesting international mix of drivers. Apart from the usual field of European and both North and South American drivers, we have drivers from Thailand, India, and Israel. Santino Ferrucci is the only driver from the U.S. He is in the driver development program of Haas F1, and so is the Indian driver Arjun Maini, who is also racing in Formula 2 this year. The new, I don't know if you've seen the new F2 cars. They are very good looking, apart, of course, from the halo. And I don't know when the GP2 race will be shown here, but I did watch the feature race live on the web. You were saying something, sir?
I was just going to say, yeah, they are good-looking car, except for that.
Halo. And you know what else is a very good-looking car? The new Indy cars are beautiful cars, I must say.
I absolutely agree with you.
Round 2 of Formula 2 will be at the end of this month in Baku. So we're going to have 3 Formula 1 races this month. Ain't life beautiful?
So exciting, Nas.
Now we go to Phoenix, Arizona, home of dry heat for IndyCars. Race was won by a Penske pilot and defending IndyCar champion Joseph Newgarden from Tennessee. Robert Wickens was 2nd. He is from Toronto area in O Canada. And Alexander Rossi from Northern California was 3rd. Newgarden leads the championship over Rossi, 77 to 72 points. And now we come to MotoGP from Argentina. Victory and championship lead for British rider Cal Crutchlow. This was reported on the broadcast when I was watching on the web. They said this is the first time since Barry Sheen in the 1970s that the championship is being led by a British rider. Your homeboy, Johann Zarco of Francia was second. Very scrappy race for Marc Marquez. Stalled at the start, then took his bike to the back of the grid and started the bike again. He was also involved in a couple of argy-bargy with other riders, including running into Valentino Rossi. Marquez was given a 30-second penalty, which dropped him out of the points. And later, you know, shortly after the end of the race, he went to Rossi's camp to apologize or, you know, to sing our favorite song, I'm Sorry. But he was told by Rossi's people to get out of Dodge pronto. Have you seen any of that, what happened there?
No, sir. I was busy cleaning the barbecue.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to check on the YouTube, it's very interesting. Very strange race and very strange doings by Mr. Marc Marquez. Now we go to Corsica. You know, this race, remember the rally Tour de Corse?
Of course.
You know, now they call it Rally France. What is happening to all these wonderful names we knew, you know? East African Safari Rally is gone. The Ivory Coast Bandama Rally is gone. And now we got these funky names. But anyway, it is what it is. Sébastien Ogier was the winner in his Ford Fiesta. Odd Tanak from Finlandia was second in his Toyota Yaris. Belgian Thierry Neuville was third in his Hyundai i20. And, you know, talking to France, you know, the other day you and I were talking about the Seb Marshall logo. Mm-hmm. The other day, a few days ago, I was just reading about the company out of curiosity. And, you know, one thing leads to another. It was very sad to hear that widow of Mr. Marshall, she was, let's just put it this way, murdered in the basement of her chalet in somewhere in France. But, you know, these things happen, and it's sort of a motorsports connection thought I'll mention and share it with the F1 Weekly familia. By the way, you probably know they are now part of Valeo, which is a very big automotive component company out of Francia.
Yeah, I mean, they've been CBA, Marshall, they were bought by Valeo many, many moons ago.
Yeah, I remember when I started following in 1973, Seb Marshall and CBA was on every rally car I ever saw.
Of course, the best of the best.
Yes, and of course, then in the 80s, we had Facom on the Renault F1 cars.
Yep.
Okay, finally, JB, our Jensen Button, was second at Okayama in his Honda NSX in the Japanese GT race. Apparently, he is now a resident of SoCal, also known as Southern California, and some also call it La La Land. And sir, are you ready now for a goodie bag?
I'm ready. Let me kick up my heels.
Ooh, you're going to be putting on the rates?
Yep.
Okay, we will look at some of the past interesting tidbits, bits and bobs, as they call them in England, from past races in Bahrain. First Grand Prix in the Middle East was staged here in 2004. And take a guess, who won that race in a Ferrari?
Schumacher.
The M. Schumacher, not R. The full Schumacher. Okay, 2005, case of boiling in Bahrain. This is interesting. This race is in the record books, not because Nando gave 100 Grand Prix win for Renault engines or Pedro de la Rosa set the fastest lap in his McLaren. The race was hottest ever recorded in F1 history. Temperature was over 42°C, that is 107°F, meaning Fahrenheit, which I guess is a normal summer day in Bahrain and Phoenix, Arizona. Would you like to watch a race in 107°F, sir?
No.
No wonder they have the race at nighttime now, which I think is a good idea. You may ask yourself, what was texting specialist De La Rosa doing in this race? Well, he was replacing Monty, who had hurt himself, apparently playing tennis on an off-road bike. As we all know, he was never an easy rider, but did win the biggest race in America with Captain Penske. And the other day, I was very disappointed to hear a comment from him that he will not be taking part in this year's Indy 500. I mean, he's quite a show at the Indy 500 or any race for that matter.
Sorry, but he will be competing in the hot dog eating contest at Coney Island, New York.
Oh, I think he's going to lap the field.
No doubt.
Brittany in Bahrain, fastest lap on his Grand Prix debut with Williams in 2006. That was Nico Rosberg. Two other drivers made their Grand Prix debut in this race. Scott Speed from Manteca, California, and Yuji Ide from Nihon. Fernando Alonso was the winner with Renault. And, you know, I'm not making this up today. Today I took a call from one of our customers, And as I was talking to him, his address was showing Manteca, California. So I asked him, have you heard of a guy from Manteca by the name of Scott Speed? And you know what he said? Who?
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, what's the population of Manteca? 40,000?
42,000.
Oh, okay. So 2,000 more people have moved in since we met his grandmother.
Correct.
Okay, so it's a booming town. That's good. Okay, now we come to the case of pole on pole. Robert Kubica scored his first pole position here in 2008. Felipe Massa won the race for the second consecutive year in his Ferrari. B&B in Bahrain, Button and Brawn Grand Prix won the Bahrain Grand Prix in 2009. The Truly Train departed from pole position platform and set the fastest lap in his Prius. Machismo in Manama. Mario Andretti, R. Nige, and Kimi Raikkonen all won on their Ferrari debut. Mario in South Africa, I believe it was 1971. Mansell in Rio, 1996, if I have the year correct, and Kimi in Albert Park in 2007. In 2010, they were joined by Nando when he won the opening round, which that year was in Bahrain. Victory also made him the first three-time winner of this event. Three new teams made their F1 debut in this race, and all are now in the Where Are They Now folder. Lotus, Virgin, Hispania. In 2011, there was no race here as the natives were getting restless. And since 2014, the Bahrain Grand Prix has been an Arabian Night adventure, which we have enjoyed very much, I must say.
Yes, very nice. You don't see the sand.
That's very true. Yeah, this is a very good race to take place in the evening.
Yes.
Are you a big fan of the Singapore Grand Prix?
No.
That race doesn't do anything for me.
No, I'd rather go back to Valencia.
No, I think I'll pass on Valencia also.
Okay, well, let's stick with Spa.
Spa is nice. I would like to see that. They're talking about a race in Argentina. I would like to see that. And looks like the Danish Grand Prix might happen in the next few years. People behind it have a lot of money. So, you know, money talks and Chase Carey listens.
Absolutely, man. And Liberty's making changes.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They presented their, whatever the plan is called, but nobody's saying we're leaving. Nobody's saying, oh, we love it. Devil is in the detail. And they have all agreed that they will not have their discussion in public. So my take is, from what I've heard and seen, is that you just cannot tell Ferrari, we're not going to give you any bonus. Actually, one of the things in that new proposal is that they will reward teams for being in the sport for a long time. They may not dish out $90 million. They may reduce it. But I think at the end of the day, we're going to see Ferrari in Formula One, not in Formula E or Azerbaijan, Hocus Pocus Grand Prix series.
I agree. And, well, who knows? Who knows what Liberty's going to plan to do, but I know one thing. If Ferrari leaves, we're in trouble.
Well, you know, what they really need to do is reduce the cost. I mean, we need to go back to days. Obviously, we cannot go back to 60s and 70s, but you need to go back to days when an independent team like Jordan could come in and make an impact. And even you have, like, a budget required for $300 million, that's really not feasible.
I concur. But it is what it is.
What else would you like to talk about?
Predictions for China, sir?
Well, like you said, Lewis has to win a race, and sooner or later, you know, they're going to win a race. So let's hope for a Mercedes 1-2. But, you know, what's going to happen is, barring any Kablamo, I think we're going to see both Lewis and Sebastian on podium till one of the cars break down, basically.
Yeah, well, I say McLaren finally surges forward and Fernando wins.
Where and when?
China.
What year?
2040.
Yeah. I think you're being realistic.
That's Nando Jr. Bravo, Frego. So anyway, there you go, Nass. Another beautiful day.
Yes, sir.
I have to get back to work, so.
Okay, sir. My thanks to everybody listening in, and hope you have a great season.
Thank you, Nass. Keep up the good work. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Bye-bye.